Hey, everybody, this is Stu Smith with another Tactical Fitness Report, and I have Nick Koumalatsos on again with us, former Marine Raider, recon, entrepreneur, philanthropist, YouTuber, CEO of Alexander Industries. I'm just reading off your Instagram feed here. But anyway, husband, father, all-around great guy, and vegetarian. Which we're going to talk about.
Ish.
I'm the same way. I am vegan ish, vegetarian ish.
I don't want to be labeled or put in a box, too.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I prefer just eating healthy. But what we're going to talk about today, folks, and one reason that prompted me to get Nick back on here, because we did a recent two through and after, and we talk about his story, how he goes from just regular kid that wanted to join the Marine Corps and became a Marine.
A troublemaker.
Yeah, Marine recon. Yeah, you were a troublemaker. Yeah. I was like, holy crap. Age 12, man, you were doing stuff I'd never even thought of. Okay, so Marine recon, Raider, and now you're out of the military doing great things as well. You guys got to check out that two through and after with Nick Koumalatsos show. Pretty fun show too as well. Yeah. But today we're going to talk about, I guess, I got a few years on you. I think I have 12 years on you. So I'm 51, you're in the 38 range, right?
Yep.
38.
Yep.
So as we age, we kind of shift out of the phases of tactical fitness. So when I talk about tactical fitness, I write about the recruit trying to get to the training. Mm-hmm. Specifically training for fitness tests and things like that to qualify. And then I talk about the candidate trying to get through the training with the specific challenges of that selection program or whatever it is. And then you got the active
injured.
Yeah. And then you got the active duty guy, you know, phase three of tactical fitness. And if you look at all three of those, they're all different ways to train. I mean, different focuses all together. And then phase four, which I don't really talk about much, but I do with retirees, because that's really what it is. You know, we're post-military career. We're dealing with the aches and pains that brought, maybe a lifetime of athletics before that. And, you know, when you start hitting 38, 40, 50 years old, you know, some of that history is going to come back and you have to deal with it. And you're also in a stage now where you can no longer outwork your diet. And that is...
which was one of the most beautiful things that you ever said. I'm so glad you said it at that TSAT conference. I was like, yes, you said it. Listen to the man.
So, you know, I wish I'd have made it up, but I didn't. I don't know who's it, but I've heard it so many times myself that I had to share it. And, but it's so true. I mean, you don't realize it that, you know, we get in these habits of eating when we're in our 20s and we carry those into our 30s. We carry those into our 40s. And then we wonder why we're gaining 5-10 pounds a year. And 10 years later, you're 50-60 pounds overweight. I mean, that is the typical journey of an American.
And it blows your mind. You don't understand why. You're like, you're training, you think you're doing everything correctly. And you're like, I don't understand what's happening.
So for you, you've had a journey of transitioning out of the military. You wrote a great book on that, The Excommunicated Warrior, which I'll put links into down below. But now you're also having a journey, which, you know, since I've last seen you, you've cut your hair. You look like you've lost about 10 or 15 pounds even. Looking pretty good. So let's talk about that journey and what prompted you along these lines of, you know, eating less meat and, you know, looking at a healthier diet. Cause I have a similar story that I.
Yeah. So, well, first off, I was that guy, like, you know, I've trained and educated myself in strength conditioning and nutrition for the past 20 plus years. Even before the Marine Corps, I was really interested in strength conditioning and nutrition. And I've always used myself as kind of like my own little science experiment.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to write about it. I gotta know what they're talking about.
Yeah. So I, you know, but I fell into the trap that we all do is, and you just said it, like, you're in your 20s, what worked in my 20s, what worked while I was going through RIP and going through selection and going through and being in my 20s, being able to crush a pizza at night and a six pack of beer, wake up at, you know, 4:30 and go at a 10-mile ruck run and perform like a beast, right? And then maintain a low body fat percentage and my joints don't hurt and all this kind of stuff. So I thought, you know, and I use pizza and beer as like kind of a joke, but, you know, just basically not really tracking macros, not really tracking, you know, you pound protein powder, you eat a burger and fries, and then, you know, that's,
yeah, it's
that's
just all diet. Over the place. Yeah,
it's just all over the place. It's not to eat calories. Yeah. It was a calorie game, right? Like, yep. I need to eat as maximum amount, you know, like 4 to 6,000 calories a day. And, yeah, and then I'm going to stay lean and I'm going to, you know, and I'm be able to perform. Well, I got out and something really weird happens mentally and physically to your body. And I don't know if you saw this yourself, but it's almost like your body is keeping, and I wrote about this in my book, your body is like on the train tracks going, right? So it doesn't really, all the physical baggage that you've got and injuries you have don't really surface.
Right.
And maybe you can articulate this a little bit better, but it's all of a sudden you get out and all these ailments surface all of a sudden that you really weren't really aware of beforehand. Hmm. And so that kind of happened to me too. It was like early 30s. It was just like, I got hit with a bag of bricks. And the dive medical officer, when I did my, was it like final physical, whatever, when you get out,
yep,
he's like, man, Nick, you got the body of a 72-year-old man. And I, you know, it is when you're in a team, you don't go to medical, you don't complain about your hip or your shoulder, or you don't complain about anything. You do what you have to do to cover that thing up and, you know, recover and get back in the game so that you can go on the next deployment. Because if you tell somebody you're jacked up, they're like, oh, well, you're out of that team and now you're going to go recover and get that surgery or, yeah, you know, and nobody wants to do that. So, you know, you hide stuff, you know, I hid stuff for 12 years to, you know, before I brought it up on my way out the door. But then when I got out, I really had that same mentality of training and nutrition. Like, I was training the way that I was in my 20s to be on a team.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, what broke me by 30. I was broken at 30.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you're pushing yourself. It's a self-induced, you know, sure, situation. Yeah, because I thought that's the level I need to do, not really focusing on actually the knowledge that I had of strength conditioning and training the right way and training like an athlete and training like an aging athlete.
Yeah.
So I find myself, you know, overeating and, you know, and I wasn't, you know, it was like, I want to be as big and as strong as possible.
You know, yeah, that's always fun. I mean, that's what got me into fitness. You know, just wanting
how big and strong can I get? Yes. You know, and as you get into your thirties and pushing late thirties, it's a lot easier to be big and strong.
Yeah, easy gainer, I call it.
Yeah, easy gainer. And but you know what, you said something before we went live, you know, talking about how you felt and how you never want to be that way again. I had to check my ego. And because, you know, yeah, I was big and I was strong and I was lifting things, but I didn't feel good.
Yeah.
I did not feel healthy. Inflammation was through the roof. Mobility was, you know, like kind of constricting, kind of coming down. And, you know, I don't feel like I was a healthy person. If I look at pictures of me like back then, you're like super like inflamed and puffy. And I was, and for those listening, I was eating healthy. I'm eating healthy foods. I'm just eating too much healthy foods.
You know what? That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah. You know,
and when I got up to like over 220, 225 after a big heavy lift cycle. And then I go to my, you know, every year in January, I go to my doctor. It's my birth month. And so I just go get my physical done and it just blown up. everything was blown up. I mean, cholesterol,
yeah,
blood pressure. This was, I think I was 48 when this was. Cholesterol, blood pressure, triglycerides, creatinine levels, you know, mm-hmm. everything jacked up. And, but I was strong.
Yeah.
You know, I could lift things and set them down very well. I could, it was hard to run. It hurt to run. My body would yell at me.
Yeah.
First mile until endorphins kicked in or something and I could actually run again. But even then it was never fun.
But then your recovery from that run is even longer too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything hurt. Yeah. Everything hurt. So yeah. I agree with you. So something had to be done.
Yeah. So, you know, I started looking into it and I'm like, okay, so now I want to cut weight. I want to get lean. And, you know, my doctor, I had been diagnosed when I went to my brain clinic. When I got out of the service, I went to kind of an inpatient brain clinic for TBI and some other things. And he was looking at all my levels and looking at my stuff. And he diagnosed me with, pre-Hashimoto's, which at the time I didn't realize. He was, is this in your family? And I said, not that I know of, which come to find out my grandmother and in Greece and my aunt both have Hashimoto's.
Okay.
I didn't even know.
Sure.
So he's looking at my blood. He's like, listen, you need to be lean and stay lean. You need to be in an anabolic state and stay lean is the best course of action for Hashimoto's and to, you know, pre-diabetic and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
My HRT doctor said the same thing, and super embarrassing. I'm like 32 years old, you know, and you get out and you know, your lifestyle is not that fast. So you put it, you know, most guys get a little bit of fat on them, and I did. And that, you know, I talked about in the book, but he 32 years old, this doctor sitting there, you're like basically naked. And this 70-year-old man grabs my waist and grabs fat, and he grabs as much as he gets. He goes, you see this? He's like, this will kill you. And I'm like, what? Like the most humiliating.
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
You know, and
very similar experience.
Yeah. And he's like, this, you see this, Nick, this is going to kill you. Like, you need to get this off your body. And I'm like, oh man, this is, but you know, for men, like that's the way. He was a Vietnam surgeon. He was a Navy doc. So he knew how to talk to me to like mentally like, hey, you need to get your shit together. And, so I started on that journey and I did it all the other ways. Right. We did, you know, I started, you know, counting macros and being in a nutrition deficit, and I got lean. I got down to 13%, you know, in my late 30s, I got down to 13%, you know, with eating meat and rice and all that kind of stuff. But you know what was interesting on it? I still didn't feel good. I still wasn't performing good. I felt better being lean, but I still just didn't feel healthy. You know, I still felt inflamed. I still felt digestive issues was still a problem. If I ate certain things, like I felt like I had like a rock in my gut. You know, and so I still wasn't performing the way that I felt like I should have performed at 30, you know, like a 13% athlete.
Right.
But I look good, right? So that's all that matters, I guess. but it wasn't maintainable because I was tired. I was exhausted all the time. You know, fatigue. It was basically like constant just fatigue and not being able to keep up in the natural energy levels at all.
What do you think that was? Just low caloric intake at the time? Just not getting enough energy in? Or
so at the time, it's a great question, because at the time I thought it was low caloric intake. I'm like, well, I'm eating, you know, 1750, you know, 1,750 calories a day. So I'm like, that's low, right?
Yeah, that's pretty low.
Like I'm in a deficit, and you know, so that maybe that's why. So I'm like, okay, well, let's go find out what my BMR is and my TDE, and let's run some numbers, and let's put me back in a place
where you maintain,
where I maintain and feel better.
Yeah.
And guess what would happen? My body fat would go up.
Huh.
And I still felt like shit. So, over 2 years ago, My wife, and now she's like, of course, like, I told you so. She's a big component on the blood type diet. I don't know if you.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I'm not the person to, and we talked about this briefly, I'm not the person to be, I think anytime you go radical one side or the other, your argument becomes invalid.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a fence that needs to be kind of balanced on.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like as soon as you're like, no, the only diet is vegan, the only diet is carnivore, the only diet is keto, well, you've just lost all credibility, because there is no one size fits all. There is no right answer. There is no wrong answer. It's just there's a balance in between.
It is pretty amazing how diametrically opposed many of these diets are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just the complete opposite of each other. Right. But everybody swears that's the way to eat.
This is the only for everyone. This is the only way to eat for everyone. And, you know, like I'm not 100% sold on the blood type diet. However, I've seen a ton of positive correlations with it, with a lot of people. Right.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Cause it kind of tracks you back to where you were, where your family was from and your genetics. And just
looking at, for instance, looking at O's that typically, you know, and as a coach and as somebody that's helping people, I'm looking at like, okay, they're having issues here. And I'm like, and I've come to find out, I see a lot of correlation. Okay, what blood type are you? I'm an O. And I'm like, do you struggle with acid reflux? I do. Okay, well, why don't you have a steak every once in a while, like a couple times a week, a nice, healthy, you know, grass-fed steak, and then get back to me and see if your acid reflux goes away. And they go, yeah, that worked. And the same, my wife's an O, and same thing. Like she'll have some, and it's because they have a higher acidic level of stomach acid.
Huh. Interesting.
So they have some red meat, and that stomach acid now has something to break down to where their acid reflux, you know, it gives it work to do.
Sure.
I'm an A positive. I do not have high. I've never had like heartburn in my life, except taking doxycycline and the PI. You know, but that's a common. And those of you stage 3 and stage 4 tactical athletes know what I'm talking about. But I don't have that, right? So my stomach acid is, I don't have that high acidity level. So if I eat red meat, my stomach acid is not strong enough to break it down. And I just, and to be really gross, like it sits there and rots. And the gas is horrible. It feels like I've got horrible stomach pain.
Inflammation begins.
I get constipated. So there's a lot of correlation. And what I like about that kind of diet mentality, I won't call it a diet, but the mentality of it is it's the one thing that you can see that goes one size does not fit all.
Absolutely.
It's about the right foods for the right person. Over 2 years ago, she was like, I was having a lot of these issues. I couldn't get lean. Okay. And even though matter, I was like, if I was in a deficit, I was tired. So I couldn't get lean and be energetic and athletic and feel good. I was having stomach issues, and she goes, I really think you should cut out red meat. And I'm like, that's bullshit. I'm a man. Men eat red meat, blah, 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 blah.
You know? Got a grill in the backyard.
Yeah, I got a grill. Like, what are you talking about? And I wasn't that dramatic about it. But, you know, that's the mentality that we all have, or most people have early
on. It's hard to do. It's very hard to do. I mean, I cook on my grill 5 days a week.
Yeah,
not all red meat, you know, chicken, fish, you know, stuff too.
Whatever. Man, but there's a cultural thing with manhood, with meat. And it's like, if you don't eat meat, you're a pussy, you know, basically. So, and we tell ourselves that, and we believe that. So I said, you know what, she talked me into taking it out for 30 days. So I took it out for 30 days. Honestly, felt great. Didn't miss it. I felt great. And I was like, okay. So then we went to her dad's birthday party in Kansas City and went to Jack Stack. And I don't know if you're familiar with
Kansas City Barbecue.
Kansas City Barbecue, the Burn-Ins.
Mm.
And I love barbecue. You know, I grew up in Florida. I grew up in the South. So barbecue is near and dear to my heart.
Yep.
And so I was going to go, you know, go live it up and go crush some barbecue in Kansas City. Stu, worst decision of my life. I was down for a week.
Wow.
I couldn't take a shit for a week.
Oh,
it was so painful. I was like, and that's when it sold me. I said, I am never doing this again. I'm done with red meat. So then I went to, you know, I continued on. That was just red meat. I continued on with turkey and, you know, poultry and, you know, a little bit of dairy. Wasn't a huge dairy, but like, I like, you know, cheese and ice cream and things like that. And, sausages and you know, things like that. So I continued on with that stuff, but it was still the same issue. Like, while I didn't have like hard, you know, things that hit my gut hard, it just, I didn't feel great. And those are the people that are out there that are like, yeah, I understand, you know, some people won't get it, but the people that are lethargic, they don't feel good. They feel sluggish. They're constantly fatigued. That's where I sat. And again, same issue, trying to stay lean and without having to be super calorically low or be super calorically low and then just being fatigued, and then can't not perform even though you're lean. So I, over a year ago, I came out and I was like, I told her, I said, I don't know what this is in my head, but I think I'm supposed to be like a vegetarian type person. And I thought she was going to come across the room and smack me because she's been saying that for years. She's like, oh, you think so? This is your idea?
Oh,
this,
yeah. Finally listening to me?
Yeah. This is your idea that you had on your own? So over a year ago, I went kind of hardcore vegan. And then kind of same as you, I kind of started adding some things back in there. So within about a month, about 6 weeks, same as you, I put eggs back.
That was helpful. Eggs and fish going back in was very helpful for me.
I'm not a big fan of fish. Certain fishes, still like grouper. I love grouper, but when I had some grouper, same thing. It hit my stomach like a rock.
Oh wow!
And I was like, that's interesting. So we looked it up, and grouper is on the no-go list for A positives.
Oh.
So I kind of started following that and, like, you know, having like cod, red snapper didn't affect me at all. I'm not a big fish guy. I don't like it as much. Some of the other, you know, vegetarian style protein sources like seitan and tofu and things like that have now become, they actually just for me, they taste better. Mm. But now I can get calorically low. So this is going to throw people for a loop and they're not going to understand it. And they're going to say a million other things, but I eat around 1650 to 1700 calories a day.
Wow. That's really low for a big size guy.
I'm 38. I currently weigh 193,
Damn.
Yeah. So, nice. Yeah. So, and when we talked, I was close to 230.
No way.
Yeah.
Cause that was when I was at my biggest, I was about 225.
Yeah.
And I told myself, I'm never going to be over 200 again.
No.
And I don't want to do it anymore. I am flirting. Yeah. I constantly flirt between 197 and 205.
Yeah.
Kind of somewhere in that zone. As long as I can keep it in the low 200s, I'm pretty happy. But my goal is to be down there where you are. Cause I was probably at my best at about 195.
Now here's what
195.
I work with Bear Performance Nutrition. It's one of my partners, and I had that conversation with him. So when we did our first cut back a couple years ago, I didn't have the energy for the day. I would go train, and then I'd basically be on the. I was at 1700 calories, and I would be on the floor for the rest of the day, like cognitively, like I just was. Like out of it.
Yeah.
But now I'm at, you know, roughly 1650, 1700, depending on the day. So like yesterday, yesterday I had an enormous amount more food because I did, it was a leg day plus jujitsu. So with my basal metabolic rate and my activity, it was like 4,000 calories for the day, so a little over 4,000 calories. Yeah. And I knew that I needed some glycogen. I knew that I needed those carbs and fat. So I upped it. Right. So I was, but I upped it to maybe, I think it was 2,200 calories for the day. Still decently low.
Tell you what though, with mainly vegetables and grains, you can really eat a lot of food be 400, 500 calories in.
So that's my whole point with this is, so now that I've switched this diet to predominantly, you know, vegetable and vegetables, and my macros are the same. I still have high protein. You know, I've got high protein. I've got high carbs. I personally keep my fat lower. It's, my body likes that. I prefer carbs and less fat.
Same.
So here I am having less calories than I did when I was eating, you know, like the typical, like, you know, 8 ounces of turkey, a cup of rice, and that's my meal. And feeling lethargic, I look better now, and all day I have energy. I can go do 2 hours of jiu-jitsu and then eat food. You know, by the end of the day, I'm less than 2,000 calories at 38 years old. And I hit my hour and a half lifting session at the end of the day too. And at the end of, like, I come in here and I'm like dancing around the house, feeling good.
Ready to roll.
I still have a hard time going to sleep.
Yeah.
So explain, you know, people are like, well, you're going to be vitamin deficient. You're going to be lethargic and not have energy. You're going to lose all your gains.
I mean, the foods that you're eating are nutrient rich.
But they said that these are just like, you know,
what
social
people
media,
are internet, saying. Yeah.
Internet comments. It's like, well, no, more meat's way more nutritious than vegetables and fruits. And I'm like, did you literally just say that? First of all, do you know where the majority of our meat comes from? If you want to get on the meat thing, like that meat that you're getting at Walmart, buddy, that ain't nutritious. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, you're missing out on a lot of nutrients. I mean, just pure vitamins and minerals.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you might get some more amino acids out of some of the meats and eggs, but, you know, still, you get a lot of amino acids out of plant-based food as well.
Absolutely. You know? So that's kind of my like rebuttal to everybody that's like, well, you're going to lose all this stuff. It's like, okay, well, for me, and I can only speak to me, I have never felt better. I have never, at this age in my life, I have never performed to the level that I have. Now, do I perform like I do when I was 24?
No.
Yeah. I'm not going to.
Yeah, me either.
I can't compete with that guy.
I can outswim a lot of people.
Yeah. Now, longevity and mind wise, you know, like I can go the distance, you know, that guy didn't have the scars that I do to be able to mentally go the different distance.
Ah, that's true.
You know, but I've, you know, I've never felt more energetic. I've never felt more, just the ability to do more and eat less than I ever have.
That's interesting. And one thing that I noticed about it was, I wasn't in pain. Like I didn't wake up in pain. I used to think it was just, I had a bad bed, right?
Yeah.
You know, just, I slept funny. Yeah. Right? I mean, every day was waking up in some form of ache or pain. It wasn't debilitating. I'd still go work out and do stuff.
Yeah, of course. Same.
It was always something I had to work through, had to warm up, had to stretch. Yep.
I would wake up out of bed and it would literally, that was the worst part of my day, was waking up and rolling out of bed. It was like I had been hit by a Mack truck. Joints, low back, everything. I felt absolutely wrecked. Almost to where I would have to go get in the hot tub for 20, 30 minutes just to feel somewhat normal to be able to go about my day.
Hmm. Nice.
And that's not the case anymore.
That's nice that you don't have that, is what I meant. Anymore. Because that's a huge hurdle that people are dying to get back to, and they think they can't. You know, one thing that I realized that I've done I've done two things in my 40s that have helped me. One, I'm an O positive, so I eat steak probably once or twice a week.
Because you need to.
That's it. Yeah. And everything else is vegetables. If I eat a meat, it's on top of a salad. If mm-hmm. you know, if I do anything like that, I eat a lot of fun grains, you know, instead of just, you know, just your standard corn, you know, I go with couscous, I go with quinoa, you know, and try to get really creative with.
There's more protein in those.
Yeah, it really are. Yeah, I was shocked at the amount of protein I was getting, and so filling.
Yeah, it's funny that people say that. They're like, oh, you went plant-based. Well, where do you get your protein? the same places that your huge animals that you eat get it from.
Yeah.
They're like, there's no protein in vegetables. Like, well, there's, you know, there's a lot more foods out there than just lettuce and an apple.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, you know, I was always wondering about grains. I never really thought a lot about eating a lot of grains until probably the last 10 years. But I will say this, you know, even though I was a carnivore, you know, steak just about every day or meat or something, you know, throughout my 20s and 30s. And then I just turned 50 last year and I had the first, you know, 50-year-old colonoscopy, right? And all of it was crystal clear, not a single polyp, and I don't need to come back for 10 years, right? But because I was ate a lot of meat, I also always balanced it out with a ton of green leafy lettuce, spinach. You know, my kids have eaten broccoli every day of their life, you know, from when they were, you know, 3 years old and until now.
Good dad.
I mean, we were just eating broccoli. And you know something that's really fun with kids? Purple cauliflower.
All right.
I didn't even know it existed. But it's kind of like got the same little chemicals in it that red wine does.
Okay.
You know, so it's it makes it purple. Yeah. And my daughter just loved it. You know, just, you know, something purple on her plate, you know?
Yeah.
And she'd tear that up. So anyway, yeah, they have been eating it, and I have too, because like you said earlier, you know, I ate a lot of food that was good for me, and it was just too much.
Right.
If they didn't eat it, I didn't make leftovers, right? I just, if it was leftover food, it was going in my belly.
Well, yeah, especially as a dad, you know, everybody eats. And then set, like, what's left? Okay, I will clear this. I'm the garbage disposal to clear this up.
Yeah, you're not going to waste two pieces of broccoli. I'm going to eat this. You know?
Yeah.
Two pieces of steak, I'm going to eat this. So
yeah.
What I realized is that for me, it was so much more about portion control.
Yeah.
And once I figured out the portion control and the balance of less meat, more fruits and vegetables, and really quality grains made all the difference in the world for me throughout my 40s. Like I said, I had that one bad year earlier I was telling you where I just got super heavy and lifted and turned into a red meat guy. I think I was doing you know, once again, I'm a writer and I like to learn about these things that I'm writing about. So I did this keto thing for a while.
I did that
and
too.
And it got me so... I was big, I was muscular, little bit lean, not too overweight, but I was just too, heavy.
It wasn't for me. I know it's good for a lot of people do well with it. It wasn't for me.
It didn't fit me well either. Though I noticed it, you know, and it was fun, you know, peeing on a little stick to see if I was, in ketosis. I was like, hey, this is kind of fun. Kind of keeps me, you know, in the game a little bit.
I will say that diet, you know, the ketogenic diet, for somebody who's maybe not so educated on diet and are someone who's on like traveling and needs a simplistic way of eating, that's a super easy way to eat and eating on the go. Like,
yeah, that is true.
Easy. Yeah,
that is true. And, you know, especially if you're, I've seen it work really well for pre-diabetic people.
Yeah.
You know, guys in that pre-diabetic, diabetic phase, that, you know, it just makes sense. They're going to eat a lot less carbs.
Or somebody who's, which is also in that pre-diabetic, somebody that's grossly obese.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
metabolic. Like,
yeah.
All the, you know, big moments of things coming together and creating that.
Yeah.
That tends to work really well. You're right. So I'm, like I said, I'm not bashing any diet, right? Because I think, as you said, we're all different. Yep. And, you know, there is some science behind that, that proves that we all are different. Just like, you know, some workouts work better for others that don't work for, you know, the other person. And, you know, there's a way to train, there's a way to eat, but there's not the way to train and there's not the way to eat.
That's right.
And, you know, like I said, so, let's talk about this. Let's just for just kind of cool ideas. What are some of your ideas for, the big macros? So your proteins, what do you eat mainly? Carbs mainly and fats mainly.
Okay. So protein is, mainly is going to be things like legumes, beans, seitan, tofu. I'm no longer afraid of soy.
It doesn't make you have titties?
Yeah, no. Interesting thing with that. And you know, we're all taught that. Like if I saw a soy thing in a protein bar,
I don't want that. Crap
you
protein.
Know? So I don't know if you were following along when my wife and I were doing in vitro stuff and trying to have a kid. Her estrogen was at like 3, so she was, you know, normal stuff, eating meat and stuff from the store and not even super healthy stuff, just literally the stuff from the store. And her estrogen was 397.
Okay.
Super high, super out of control high. And they won't even let you do the embryo transfer unless it's like below a certain amount. And I don't remember, maybe she can yell at me. But it's got to be super low. Her estrogen had to be super low because they were going to do the transfer and then, give her, progesterone because we were having to basically create a situation that she's pregnant when they put the embryo in. So they had to supplement for 10 weeks. So that means they wanted her estrogen super low because they were going to give her the medicine and it wasn't coming down. And so she switched, when I switched to a plant-based diet, so did she, very strictly. Within weeks, I mean, I'm talking like 3 weeks, it went from 397 to 7.
Damn. Nice.
And the doctor said they had never seen anybody come down that fast.
And her diet prior to that was regular diet.
Yeah. She still did more veggies than I did, but she, you know, predominantly, you know, steak, poultry, salmon, that things like that. You know?
Sure. Healthy foods, just.
Yeah.
Yeah, just animal based.
We have to look at what's in those animal, you know, animal proteins, how they're being produced and things like that. And everybody, so my point being is like everybody's like, soy is gonna have estrogen and so bad and scary. But this chicken and this beef is okay.
Right. With all the antibiotics and
hormones and everything.
Hormones,
yeah. So okay, sure, bud. And then when she was on a plant-based diet, her protein, she was heavily on soy, if that creates estrogen, why would her estrogen go from almost 400 to 7 if she's eating nothing but soy and tofu and vegetables?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have debunked that and said, no, actually soy actually protects you from estrogen and the way that it binds to different proteins and whatnot. So I'm not a scientist or a doctor. But that was interesting to me. It's like, so as soon as that happened and I saw that with her blood work and then I saw it with me, I was like, yeah, this is maybe something that was said at one time in some study to prove a point to get people to what? I don't know. Drink more milk. Eat more meat.
Drink more milk. Eat more meat. Never know.
That, who knows what the agenda was, right?
Some industry in there was.
Yeah. So, yeah. So my protein, my majority protein sources are, you know, like I said, legumes, beans, seitan, tofu. There's a cool brand here in North Carolina that I eat sometimes called No Evil. And they use beans and legumes and barley and wheat to make, you know, non-meatless products. So we have those sometimes, and I really like those. I'm not a big fan of the Beyond stuff. I think that quality is super low. And
I've tried it a few times. I agree with you.
I don't like that. I don't think it's healthy.
I don't know. You know, that's the problem. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's in that stuff, but I'm not a fan. But there's a lot of stuff out there now that is, like, if you look at it, and it, like with anything, you read the ingredients, right? If you can read the ingredients, then we're on the right track. And that's what a lot of it is barley and wheat and stuff, and has a lot of protein in it. It's actually surprising once you get into it, because people are like, well, you don't eat protein? No, I have the same amount of protein that my macro protein level is the same that it was before I switched over a year ago to this. And then my carbs are same thing as you, like couscous and quinoa and every vegetable that you can get your hand on.
Yep. My salads have at least 10 vegetables or fruit in there.
Yeah.
You know, and throw some nuts on it as well.
Yeah. And then for lunches, I subscribe to the vegan/vegetarian trifecta meals. So they always have like a ton of high, you know, sweet potatoes and all kinds of stuff.
Good stuff.
And then fats, avocados, olive oil, peanut butter. And I like Jeff's post the other day about his peanut butter. He said, if your peanut butter ingredients say anything more than peanuts, you're eating the wrong. Yeah.
So, yeah. I think he likes that Naki. Yeah. Is that how you pronounce it? Naki peanut butter. Yeah.
Yeah. It's delicious. And you're right. So there should be nothing in your peanut butter other than just peanuts.
Yeah.
So that's my main fat sources. I try to stay around 50 grams of fat a day, which seems easy enough. That's it. And it's pretty simple for me.
Yeah. One thing that I did that helped me tremendously was I actually wrote down everything that I was eating and when I was eating it.
Yep.
And just made a journal of it, because what it allowed me to do was see where the leaks were in my diet. And I had a leak, and I didn't even realize it until I wrote it down at the end of the day and started doing the math, and it was peanut butter. Now, I love peanut butter. I can eat peanut butter going out of style. Like, I'd get a spoonful after breakfast, a spoonful after lunch,
spoonful
after dinner, and then I had this extra 500 calories at the end of the day.
Where did this come from?
And I was like, what the hell? And so I realized, it's my peanut butter fetish. So I took off peanut butter, and then I started losing weight again. So
I think my peanut butter, I have to look, but I think it's a tablespoon or two tablespoons is like 200 calories.
Yeah. You do two or three of those a day, and you know, you gotta be laying off something else.
For our older guys out there and gals out there, that literally those like three spoonfuls of peanut butter could be the difference of you dropping a pound a week or gaining a pound a week.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Few spoonfuls.
Yeah. Like I said, I wrote everything down, and I was really working on eating right and everything healthy and starting to fix my portions, you know, eat smaller portions. And then that was the last thing that came off the list. And everything just started falling apart there. And I think I got down, I was getting down to like 2,100 calories.
So where are you at now at your age?
I'm right at 2,000 to 2,100 a day.
And you're maintaining right there?
I'm maintaining there. If I want to lose, I got to get it down to like 17, 18.
So about the same.
Run more. Yeah, I'm right there with you are. I thought you were taller than me. I'm like 6 feet, 200. Right now.
Yeah. So my BMR is like 1950.
Yeah. Same. I'm in that zone. Yep. Yeah. So I used to do two-a-days, but they closed my pool, so that hurts. I would burn another 500 calories at don't lunch.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, I would eat 500 calories for lunch, and then I'd go burn 500 calories for lunch.
Yeah.
Perfect, like, second workout. And it just felt so good doing it. They just told me the pool's not even going to open until August. They're fixing it now because it broke.
Oh, good. So it's not about this nonsense that we're going
through. It has been. It has been about the nonsense. They're not even opening up gyms or pools until the 19th here in Maryland. So I've been working out outside, you know.
With your crew?
With my crew, and we've been tearing it up. A lot of running. So,
speaking of running, that's another thing. When I was heavier, I would try to run for, you know, just cardiovascular fitness. And same thing you were saying earlier is my knees would hurt. I just couldn't. The recovery took longer. Now, getting down to, you know, low 190s, I am running like low sevens without training for it.
Nice.
But you got to think that's a difference for me, you know, that's a 35 pound pack that I was carrying.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, run 3 miles.
So hard. I used to tell people all the time, I'm already rucking.
I ruck everywhere I go. Yeah. So that's something that I've noticed, that with my joints, my knees and my hips, and my mobility, has been a lot better in that department as well. At being this age, there's just so much more pressure. And like you, I don't ever want to go back up ever again.
No.
You know, and if I do, it's going to be really slow, and I'm going to maintain a real low body fat percentage, and do it real, you know, real slow.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't have a lot of use for anabolic, you know, just growing muscle. It doesn't, I mean, I got enough. I'm happy with.
If you've got decades of lifting, that you can go pull a heavy deadlift and do a good squat and bench and press.
And I still lift. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I, there's a cycle for that in my year, but and I'll play around. My son is 17 and he's really into lifting now. So, you know, sometimes that fires me up a little bit, and I'll.
When you see a 17-year-old going at it.
I'll drop some weight with him, you know, playing around. But for me, I'm an easy gainer now. So I can look at food and I can look at weights and I will gain weight.
Yeah.
I only have to eat it. I don't have to lift it. I just look at it. Right.
Breathe it in.
That's how easy it is. I just got to, I just have to realize that. And that's, you know, part of that too is, you know, not being out, being able to outwork your diet anymore.
Right.
So you still have to now work on those calories in. You still have to work on the calories out. And at the end of the day, you know, whatever your goal is, you're trying to gain weight, you need a surplus. You're trying to lose weight, you need
that's
a
it,
deficit.
Right.
You know,
it's a mathematical problem. If someone comes to me and says, Nick, I've been doing this, this, and this, and I'm not losing weight, it's because you're not in a deficit. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
If you become in a deficit, you're going to lose weight.
Yep.
You could eat Wendy's once a day. And if you're in a deficit, you're going to lose weight. That's just the way it works.
I even tested out ketosis, and, you know, people always say you're in ketosis, you're losing weight. Well, you can gain weight in ketosis too.
Absolutely.
You know, at the end of a week, I was up 3 or 4 pounds.
Because you're in a surplus.
I was in a surplus, serious surplus, you know, between the peanut butters and the meats and the, you know, but, you know, I had to really force it to do it. It was more of a test for me of, like, you know, everybody talks about, it doesn't matter what you eat. Well, it does.
Quality does matter.
Yeah. And quantity.
Yep.
for me, like I said, it wasn't an issue with quality. It was a pure quantity issue.
That's kind of been my whole thing with, you know, older individuals, you know, late 30s and above, you know, that are wanting to lose weight. They're like, man, I'm really struggling. And like you said at the beginning of the episode, is like, you put that 5 pounds a year, and then 10 years, you're like, well, wow, I'm, you know, 30, 50 pounds heavier than I, where did this come from? That's my big message to them is high quality food. Start eating high quality food, cut out the damn sugar, just stop with the sugar.
Yeah. Like just eliminate,
eliminate it completely. And I'm not talking about an apple, you know, and everybody's like, well, fruit sugar. I'm like, I'm not, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the crap that's in everything, actual sugar, you know, fake sugar
from high fructose corn syrup, cane syrup,
all that.
Yeah.
Cut it out. Your sodas, you know, I blew my freaking ketchup has high fructose corn syrup in it.
Yeah, I know.
And anyways, so some cut peanut that out.
Butters, some peanut butters do.
Yeah. Again, it goes back, right? Peanut butter should have peanuts. That's it. That's the ingredient list for peanuts. But yeah, so high quality foods. And then if you want to lose weight, be in a deficit, put yourself in 10, 20% of a deficit of what you're burning and it will happen.
Absolutely. And the biggest thing is find what works for you.
Yes.
You know, find what works for you. If it's less meat, if it's more meat, great. You know, if it's working for you and you're feeling healthy,
that's the biggest thing. Like if you feel good, right? If you're feeling healthy and you're feeling good, then that's awesome. That's the goal. Yeah. Be out of pain and feel good.
I mean, I think there's three things that all come together. Looking good, which doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy, but looking good, feeling good, and then all your physical, you know, medical physical scores that you get from the doctor. All your, your blood work. Right.
Do you, how many times a year do you do blood work?
Just once a year. I just
once a year.
Yeah, I should probably go another one, but I feel pretty good.
My hormone doctor, because I think I told you last time I've been on TRT except coming off for 8 months to have the surgery to get the boys, the swimmers out for in vitro. I've been on shortly after about a couple years after I got out. They found that my intercon system was damaged through,
you know, it happens a lot. I mean, not really sure how that happens, but you know, like you were talking about constantly on that wheel and not feeling the pain.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just, we're adrenaline junkies.
Yeah. And you burn it out, right? You burn out your endocrine system. Yeah. And then if you get, you know, how many parachute opens did you have? How many breaches were you next to? How many flashbangs went off by your feet? Those are all micro traumas that happened, and it all damages the pituitary gland. But through that, through my doc, they check me every 6 months. So I get blood work every, like, and you know, like the blood work, when you go through when you do HRT, they do like 6 vials of blood. So they're not doing a regular doctor panel. They're doing that plus, you know,
absolutely.
You know, 10 other things. So, which is really nice because all those things that people are worried about with eating predominantly a plant-based diet, you get checked all your vitamin levels. You know, all your A1C, everything that you're checking, you're keeping up with everything. And I think that kind of gives you a leg up on your health to know exactly, like, that data. You have that data feedback loop of exactly what's happening with your body.
And you see it working.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it working with science.
Yeah.
Like the other two are purely aesthetic.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I feel good and I look good. One of them's aesthetic, but you know what I mean? The other one that actually is backed with science. If you can balance all three of those, you figured out what you need to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been going good, Stu. I'm sold, man. I'm sold. I'm like you. I'm like, I found a weight that works for me and a body composition that works for me that I can perform. Cause that's really what I want to do. I want to continue to lift in the afternoons. I enjoy it. I really enjoy doing 1 to 2 hours a morning of jiu-jitsu. Like, I want to be able to do that, you know?
Yep. You know, I think I've kind of gone full circle and then back into a little past the circle. I started off with the powerlifting football athlete guy, right? And that was it. You know, long distance was anything over 100 meters, right? It was just... That's where I started, you know, my team.
My car. That's my
life. I just wanted to make the football team, right? And play sports, right? And then it was in the military. And then I realized, okay, that needs to change because that doesn't work anymore. And then
your job.
Then going into special ops, you know, and preparing for that. That was a journey as well. And I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed kind of going and being good at everything.
All those chapters.
Yeah, not being great at anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't need to be deadlifting a truck anymore, but I still need to be strong, you know.
The whole jack of all trades, master of none kind of mentality.
Absolutely. And that's what a tactical athlete is. You know, a tactical athlete just needs to be really good at everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be great at any one, though you may have some strengths, you know, that are natural to you. For me, it was on the strength side. And, you know, to maintain cardio was always the big challenge for me. I just had to work at maintaining cardio, you know, and then I went back full circle and tried the strength thing for a couple of years. And I felt like crap doing it. I was big, I was bulky, you know, slow, everything, you know, strong. That was great. That's probably strong as I was in my 20s, you know, which, you know, for an old man, that's kind of fun. But then nothing else was good.
Yeah. As we age, we really need to focus on mobility.
And I mean, just like I said, my blood work was horrible, and that prompted me to come back around to go back into this tactical athlete world where, you know, you do a lot more cardio, you do some calisthenics, you do some
more athletic,
you know, you just mix it all in there where, you know, you run, you swim, you can put on a ruck if you want a ruck,
right?
You know, without it crushing your back, and, you know, you just feel better. And then the final thing I want to end this on is the other thing that I started doing is I replaced one of those hard workout days of the week that I would do, like day three or day four of the week. And I completely replaced it with a mobility day.
Yeah.
So my mobility day looks like this. It's 5 minutes on a bike or elliptical. It's 5 minutes of stretching and foam rolling. And I repeat that five times.
Right. Nice.
So it's a 50-minute workout, and then I go swimming, and I tread water, and I do dynamic stretches in chest-deep water. So it looks like I'm aqua jogging, basically, and it is unbelievable. I walk out of the pool, and I feel no pain whatsoever. My hips don't hurt, even during high-mileage run cycles like we're in right now. It's incredible. So that has been life-changing.
I think more tactical athletes need to realize the difference between sympathetic and parasympathetic training.
And
I think, so what you're doing there is you're getting your heart rate variability to recover. You're putting yourself in a parasympathetic mode. Like, these are the
just
things,
breathing.
These are the things that stimulating the vagus nerve for recovery. These are the things that we don't want. Those stage one and stage two guys, even the stage three guys, they don't want to do.
No, that's, you got to force them to do it.
You got it's slow because it slows them down. And I think that's the reason why we see, not to make this thing go over, but I think that's the reason why we see guys in the stage three and four have so many issues, because they've lived in that sympathetic mode for so long that they're not recovering, and their cortisol's through the roof. You know, they're stressed. They're basically in a trauma state constantly.
Sure. Sleeping with one eye open.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what happens? Weight gain, more inflammation, more issues, you know? Yeah. So that's, I like that workout. I think I'm going to have to,
Day. I call it my mobility day off. And so I started doing that in my 40s, made a huge difference. And then I started noticing my younger guys were joining me on it.
Yeah.
And then I just made it mandatory for everybody. And what I saw there was a day five, day six, multiples level of increases.
Really?
Instead of coming in at
makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of coming in
recovered,
beat down on Friday at, you know, and day six being awful, you know, being like at 40-50% of what you could normally do, they come in at 80-95%, you know, after that kind of easy day off, and just, it's very helpful.
What's your pace on a bike for that 5 minutes?
You know, some days I don't even break a sweat.
So it's just movement.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, it is literally easy stuff. I usually try to keep my RPMs on a bike at like 80.
Okay.
You know, so nothing crazy.
Okay.
You know, makes sense. Sometimes I'll go in there and it's so easy. I literally don't break a sweat during that entire workout. The only thing that makes me break a sweat is probably foam rolling.
That's, you know, that's
just because it's freaking painful sometimes.
I have this journal of things that Stu has said. I'm just going to add. I'm gonna add that to the stew list.
Yeah, I'll send you an article I wrote. It's I can't remember. It was new rules for tactical fitness over 40.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll post that up too. I'll throw that.
Okay, I'll send it to you. It's yeah. Actually has some good tips in there that work. So
awesome.
All right, man. Well, thanks for sharing. You know, I've always liked to talk to people that are, just hardcore guys that are, you know, doing stuff that people don't think they do. You know, the people don't expect to see, you know, veganism or vegetarian or, you know, but there's reasons behind it.
Yeah, that's why I kept my mouth shut for almost 2 years about it.
You know, because it is pretty crazy that people get so into their way of eating that they bash whatever's
anything different
they're not doing and different. It's like we're so weird in this culture of everybody arguing for nothing,
for no reason. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks a lot. And like I said, I'll share this with you as well. Put it on YouTube and all the other places where you get your podcasts. Where can people find out more about you, Nick?
Same thing, Nick Koumalatos on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Even occasionally throw a tweet out there.
Okay. not big on Twitter either.
Yeah, so it's easy to find me. Yeah,
that's cool. Well, good. Well, thanks, Nick. I'll put all your links down below in the description. So if you guys want to check out Nick and his stuff, go ahead and check it out. So thanks a lot, Nick. Until next time, my friend.